This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com. It's
a beautiful morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal.
It's sensational.
It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning.
6 minutes past the hour.
When I think of Tommy Thompson doing the intro to a Trump rally and
right.
being asked to leave.
Get off the stage.
Get off the stage.
Yeah, that was a moment.
That was one of the great moments.
Mm-hmm. Hey, New Year's Eve is tomorrow, John.
Yeah.
You know, Civic Media is celebrating Lou Regani, host of Civic Media's fantastic Sunday morning show, Music of the Stars. Mm. He's going to do a special New Year's Eve version of his show tomorrow from 7 o'clock in the evening till 1 a.m. New Year's Day.
All right, all right.
6 hours yeah. he's going to be on the air.
Yep.
Live all across the Civic Media Network.
They weren't going to ask us to be special guests or anything like that?
No, we got the night off.
Excellent.
What are we going to do?
I did not want to be a special guest.
Okay.
But it sounds like fun.
It does.
Yeah.
Going to be a good show.
We got a couple texts here.
Yeah.
The word on the street, yeah. Kinnikinick is the street he's talking about. Civic Media will be offshoring the John and Gordy show, probably Canada.
Hey. That's from Doug.
Why not? Why not? And in a text here said, please stop using the R word. Mm-hmm. No, I know you're trying to get a point across in the story. Yeah. I was trying to get that point across. And the ugly side of the Trump administration, the incoming Trump administration, this is the ugly side. And
a side that's not ugly?
No, they're using it.
Now, this is truly, truly hideous for, you know, the people in the administration to talk like this, to support something like this, to use this language is just outrageous. And I just wanted to make that emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
By reading the actual text.
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
All right. We've got a big story as well, but you've got something here, don't you?
Well, are we going back in the time, Tom?
Not yet. No. Not yet. Just hold on. I know it's fun. Well, I know it's fun spinning around in circles. I've got this story here, and it was an opinion piece that kind of spurred me on, a Yahoo opinion. And the title was, Dear Democrats, I survived the Biden administration. You'll survive Trump.
Oh, you know, okay. Well.
Yeah. Well, it was so tough during the Biden administration. Jeez. All the risks.
Mm. Yeah.
The bad economy, the sinking economy.
All
my goodness sakes. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
This is how the opinion started. Democrats have used Trump's extreme bluster as an excuse to engage in their own breathless fear-mongering. Democrats ran on largely maintaining the Biden administration's failed immigration policies and again lost the issue. By the way, no, the Democrats didn't want to support the Biden administration's failed policies on immigration because Biden didn't want to support those policies. He wanted actual immigration reform. The Democrats have been on this thing for the last 20 damn years. Get your heads in the right place, folks. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Well, and they finally had a policy, and then Trump deep-sixed it.
They did. And
Republicans had gone along with it.
And it was a Trumpish policy. Mm. And Biden would have signed it, would have gone along with it.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, but that's the failed policy that Biden wanted to just keep going with. Well, it was Trump's policy, you idiot. All right. Anyway, but what we heard instead was, and that is the cut here, you know, the Trump singing, it's a feature. See, it's a cut.
What? What are you
talking about?
Okay. Big surprise. Well, just look at the sheet. It's a song.
Okay.
It's called Feature. and it's Trump eating the dog song. You know, it's just at the top of the cuts that I have, right. I have features, and they're just musical things without numbers on them.
Sam, so have you found?
We'll need to do some digging.
Oh no, really? Oh God.
We know all about the eating dogs thing.
Well, we're not going to play it anymore?
Don't you have that list of songs?
I didn't know I was planning on doing it.
Oh. Right at the top of the list, though.
I'm a computer, John. I think of numbers.
Oh.
That's true. Okay. Well, anyway, Dems didn't want to maintain the current immigration policies, right? So Ilhan now, and I have to say it right, Ilhan. Wants immigrants. See, when I say it at home, my older son goes, who? You know, if I say Ilhan, he goes, I don't know who you're talking about. It does this to me every time. So I have to correct it. Go, Ilhan?
Ilhan.
Ilhan. Okay, there you go. Ilhan wants immigrants. There's a dire shortage. This is him speaking here. Dire shortage of extremely talented and motivated engineers in America. There's a shortage calling for increased H-1B visas to bring in low-paying immigrant employees. Mm-hmm. That sparked a massive backlash from, you know, the right wing, of course, who don't want any immigrants in this country. Duh. The H-1B visa program is used to cut costs, not supply talent, okay? It pays each way. By the way, these are lower income individuals. They come here, they're engineers from India. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that earlier. And they get paid below market wages. And let's go back now into the time tunnel. All right, can we get the time tunnel
got that
kickstarted?
Two American scientists are lost in a swirling maze of past and future ages during a first experiment on America's greatest and most secret project, the Time Tunnel.
Oh,
I'm getting dizzy.
I can't hear.
I've got vertigo.
Oh, man, it's slippery in here. Anyway, let's go back to 2005. This is Lou Dobbs when he was backing up all the blue-collar workers out there and had reports every night. It was just a fantastic broadcast. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those broadcasts on H-1B visas. Listen up.
H-1B workers in computer occupations were paid on average $13,000 less than Americans doing the same work last year. In a soon-to-be-released study by the Programmers Guild, 85% of H-1B workers are paid less than the median wage of an American worker. And not only that, those H-1B computer workers are at the bottom of the wage scale. Lobbyists argue that American businesses can't do without more H-1Bs.
We're being told that these are people with that are highly skilled and that their skills are so important that the nation's economy depends upon it, yet they're being paid wages that are at the bottom of the barrel.
The conclusion is easily drawn. H-1Bs are cheap foreign labor, and Congress is ready to increase the number of H-1Bs issued by another 30,000. The current cap is 65,000 new visas a year. However, there are exemptions, such as there are no limits to the number of visas issued to universities and research institutions, and up to 20,000 are reserved for foreign workers with graduate degrees from American colleges going to work for U.S. companies. Critics say American companies save jobs for H-1B workers and deny American workers those positions.
I'm going to introduce legislation next week that says American workers should have the first crack at these jobs, and regardless of what GE does, and regardless of Walmart does, and regardless of what Lucent does, give them the first opportunity at these jobs and train them.
Now today, the Senate had the chance to say no to more H-1Bs, but they didn't. Senator Byrd of Virginia offered an amendment to strip out the proposed visa increase out of the budget reconciliation bill. Lou, his amendment failed by a vote of 14-85.
That is appalling, absolutely appalling. And we thought it would be interesting to you to see who those 14 senators were who had the guts to say enough on this issue, standing up for our middle class. Bill, tell us about these folks.
Well, what's interesting is a bipartisan list that tilts toward the Democrats, 3 Republicans, 10 Democrats, 1 independent, but only one state, Lou, where both senators voted to take the bill out, and that was Louisiana, where you had Landrieu and you had Vetter.
Democrat and Republican voting to take it out and debate the issue independent of the bill.
Appalling. And good for those 14. Perhaps their number will swell if courage becomes contagious and concern for working men and women in this country becomes at least, if not contagious, like some people can awaken to the interest of the national interest there.
There you go. Mm-hmm. When Lou was there for the blue collar worker.
It's a long time ago.
But guess who's still there? Yeah. President Biden.
Of course. He's always been a union guy.
Still working for the middle class. He was considering increasing the wages companies have to pay H-1B visa workers, which would disincentivize these companies from hiring workers in the first place. Just hire American. Is it crazy? You know? Is it too much to ask to hire American engineers in this country?
Apparently.
All right. Well, anyway, you know, I gotta say that, you know, we had some funding problems for the UW because they wanted to expand the engineering department, right? They wanted to do
that. Yes.
Yeah. But instead, of course, they held that up.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get DEI programs out. So they held up the engineering department, which is what we need desperately. And now they want to import from India the H-1B visa program and expand that. That's ridiculous. Right now, I wrote this down. The UW welcomed 1,351 students this year, but it will rise in a couple of years if they do expand the engineering department. It'll rise up to 5,500 engineering students in that department from 1,300.
Learning that is training huge. Them here.
Yes.
Right here.
I mean, we desperately need them, as Elon stated. Of course, and now, of course, instead of getting people imported in here and getting more immigrants, which they didn't want to do in the first place by having mass deportations, well, you know, it's mind-boggling, which leads us to another trip into the time tunnel.
Again?
Yes.
Three trips in one day.
I know, it's crazy. Can we do it?
Past and future ages, during the first experiments on America's greatest and most secret project. The time tunnel.
Can't be that secret anymore. Just keep using it over and over again.
I know. Well, we used it all year.
Okay, we're here, you know, in the past now, in 2005, but we are going to explain this story in just a few moments.
Okay.
Again, this is fantastic. This is explaining everything, because right now what they're doing is they're making social cuts to our programs in order to pay for tax cuts.
We'll get into
that want to make.
Coming up. Brittany Merlot right around the corner of John and Gordy in the morning.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right.
Yeah.
I dig this, baby.
Yeah, I'm digging it. I'm digging it. Or your Christmas tree, or Brittany Merlot.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Brittany.
You had
Good
a wonderful vacation, I would assume.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, just a few days off. That's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. The weather never takes a break. That's the problem with your business. So
that's right.
That's the truth.
We had some fog around the area this morning, but really not around Madison too much.
No, we didn't see any fog, but boy, was it foggy in the last 5 or 6 days. Just ridiculous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst part about the winter warm-ups is that you got that melting snow, that fog that lingers, just the drearier kind of weather. And it's kind of like a wet cold.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have noticed that. It doesn't really feel like a good warm 40. It's this cool, chilly 40. But hey, still manageable, right?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to run from the car to the house to the, you know. So, yeah, pretty good day today. You've got that dense fog advisory, but if you're not really seeing any, then you're not going to see any as we go through this afternoon. But possibly again tonight and into tomorrow. It's our last little warmer day. Mm-hmm. So we'll be in the 40s today, probably the mid-30s tomorrow. But we do have a chance of a light wintry mix throughout the afternoon. So keep that in mind if you're driving around trying to get somewhere for New Year's Eve. But actually on New Year's Eve, it's going to just be mostly cloudy and pretty dry out there. Temperatures, though, are sliding. We're talking about 20s by New Year's Eve and then teens as we go into Thursday, Friday, and into next week. So those are going to be our highs. We're getting hit with some cold Arctic air.
Yeah, a cold start to 2025.
Woo. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's
not, wake you up.
That's not good. No, it's typical. It's typical for winter, I guess. You
know? It is winter, after all.
Yeah. No. Do you make a resolution at all for New Year's?
No, usually not.
I never do.
Never. I mean,
what about you, Brittany? Do you
kind of worked out all the kinks already? So
I like it.
Yeah.
I try with something small, like drink more water this year or something.
There
like
There you
that.
Go.
It's actually manageable.
I'm with that. I'm with you.
That's
on
good.
That one.
All right. Well, we will talk with you, I guess, again on Thursday, right?
I love saying this. I'll talk to you guys next year.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You're going to take a couple of days off. Well deserved.
By the way, you don't know it, but we are in the time tunnel right now. we're broadcasting from the year 2005, so we've got a story from there. All right.
Way back there.
All right, Brittany. Thanks a lot, Brittany.
Thanks.
Bye, guys.
That's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
Now, here's an audio clip from 2005. George W. and the GOP Congress. What did they do back then? Well, it's the same thing the Trump administration is trying to do right now.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they're making social cuts. You know, the programs that support hardworking Americans so they can pay for the tax cuts later on. Oh, so let's go to cut 148.
The bill cuts $40 billion out of the budget. Republicans declare themselves good fiscal stewards. College students will have to pay higher interest rates. Low-income families' Medicaid co-payments will rise. There are tighter restrictions for the elderly seeking long-term care and less money devoted to child support enforcement.
Unbelievable.
The savings gained will go to offset tax cuts on dividends and capital gains that favor the wealthy.
I don't know of any religion practicing in America today that preaches from the pulpit that what one should do is take from the least among us to give to those who have the most.
It's as though we were turning Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol upside down, rewarding Scrooge with even bigger tax cuts and taking Tiny Tim's crutch away.
What's more, critics charge the budget reconciliation bill will end up not saving money, but adding to the deficit when the $40 billion in budget cuts is erased by $70 billion in promised tax cuts.
In 2005, real wages fell again. To make up for falling wages, debt soared. Ignoring their plight, Congress rewrote the bankruptcy code so that erasing debt and a clean start are no longer a possibility. Rubbing salt into the wound, Congress pushed ahead with free trade treaties in 2005, which forces American workers to compete with workers earning 50 cents an hour with no benefits.
There is no organized special interest that represents the middle class.
No one can outproduce or outcompete the American worker.
Corporate greed, Ken. Keep my taxes, give me health care, give my kids low interest student loans.
What happens if somehow something happens and China's no longer a friend? How are we going to produce our hardware?
The House of Representatives passed a bill that cuts billions in Medicaid spending, reduces federal aid for child support collections, and slashes $13 billion in student aid.
This bill stood the principle of shared sacrifice on its head.
Frequently, what is lost in all of this discussion about what's next is what's happened over the last 30 years to workers' paychecks. Real wages have fallen.
You would have people making $400 or $500 a week.
The mayors are concerned because as wages fall, so does the tax base and the ability of a city to deliver on services.
That's huge. Hardly ever think about it, but it also affects your cities. I mean, that is a devastating report. But what they did, and you know, it's just incredible, right? Making it more expensive to get student loans,
right?
I mean, seriously, what is this? And this was just to pay for tax cuts that they made back in the early Bush administration,
yeah, like 2005.
Yeah. Well, they had a couple, and it was just ridiculous. And that's how we got to where we are now. I mean, before when they started, offshoring all our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know. And we're here today because of that. And now we're going back to that.
Well, the new administration's off to a fine start. Right? They haven't taken over yet.
No.
What have we got, 3 weeks till they take over?
Yeah.
They're already a lot of infighting. They split into two camps. There's a lot of ego.
And every one of those people that said, well, you know, let's just wait and see.
Yeah, wait and
see. Well, how's that going for you?
Right. So
how's,
far.
How's it looking?
Kind of bumpy.
Yeah, a little bit. Man,
wait and see even more.
I got something here. This is just crazy stuff.
Well, we got just a minute or so. We're running a little late.
We don't have time, John.
How much time do we have?
Well, we spent a lot of time in the time tunnel. That chews up time.
Well, I know.
A lot.
Yeah, you do lose and you gain time in the time tunnel. So I'm just not used to it.
Right.
It's whiplash.
Well, we're getting back into the swing of things.
We are. You know? We are. We're trying to anyway.
It is 7:29. We're coming back with even more on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
John and Gordy on the radio. 92.7 is the place to go. It's John and Gordy, John and Gordy, John and Gordy, John and Gordy. In the morning, in the morning, in the morning, in the morning. It's John and Gordy, it's John and Gordy, John and Gordy.
Him and me. Are 7:35, clear skies this morning, highs in the upper 30s.
And get out that Civic Media app. You can text us very easily there, or just give us a call as well. Just a few buttons,
yep,
and you're in. You can tell us what you think.
Dick's on the line this morning with the call.
All
good morning, Dick.
Let's go with Dick here. What's going on?
Oh, I hope you guys had a great holiday.
Yes, we did. Thanks.
You know, to what you're talking about, the old saying comes to mind with me: the more things change, the more they stay the same, or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look at that period, and then what happened a couple, 3 years later, at the end of W's term, the economy collapsed in 07, 08.
That's right.
And then the Democrat had to come in and clean it up.
Yep.
And then in 2017... the one thing that I guess Speaker Ryan could put his hat on is doing with Trump, that massive tax cut then. And then, you know, coupled with COVID, we went into kind of bad things economically.
Yeah, we added a record amount to the nation's debt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, big event. The Great Recession was just a gift. Yeah. Wow.
Kind of a vicious cycle, isn't it?
It is.
It started like under Reagan, actually.
It really is outrageous. And when you listen to what they did way back in 2005 and how they made life more expensive for the average working individual, and they just let it happen. And then, you know, just offshoring all our jobs. It's just it's incredible. By the way, those incredible audio cuts,
yes,
are from John's democurmudgeon.blogspot.com.
Okay.
I go back way back, and I've got a lot of stuff there. Yeah.
Things in the archive.
Yeah.
Dick, thank you for your call.
Appreciate it.
You can call us 608-879-8255 or use the Civic Media app.
You know, I'm curious because I was a young kid when the Great Recession happened. I was 7 years old in 2008. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but I knew that things were not going super well. Things were not as bad for my family as for a lot of people who, say, lost their house or something like that. But within 2 or 3 years after 2008, both of my parents had lost their jobs and had to find something else.
Wow.
And I wonder, I wonder for other people my age, how significant of an event the Great Recession was, if it's going to rub off on us in a particular way, maybe similar to the Great Depression and the people who grew up during that time.
It could. And I think we're headed for something like that. I hope not anymore. I hope that doesn't happen. But you really, it's hard to know what the Republicans are going to do, what they're going to allow this administration to get away with. We'll see. We'll see.
Got a couple more texts here. One from Matt from Middleton, Elon. Whichever you prefer, sees a 20% drop in deliveries.
And layoffs.
20% of his workforce were all expendable. Way to go, MAGA.
Absolutely.
And the Chuckster from Racine piping up about Aaron Rodgers. Got to wonder if Aaron Rodgers regrets he didn't join RFK Jr. on his ticket and run as vice president, setting NFL records yesterday with the 500th career sack. Way to go, Aaron.
Yeah, what a way to go out.
Yeah, good indicator that Rodgers' best days of running on the football field are over.
That's right. New management there, and they're going to bounce him out.
You think so?
I mean, he's had it. Are you kidding? Have you?
He had a terrible season.
This documentary on him is just...
I haven't seen
biography.
This.
Whatever it is,
yeah,
they take a look at his life and what he does in his off time and how he gets his head together. Just what an idiot! God, how we put up with him for so long? You know, I put up. Look, I'm okay with Brett Favre,
right?
Despite the legal problems he has and the nastiness of what he did, I'm still, you know, those were great times. But Aaron Rodgers.
Right?
I don't have good memories of Aaron Rodgers.
You were a big fan during his glory days.
I don't remember that, Gordy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Okay.
Sherry, thanks for the emoji. We're back live this time, Sherry.
Yes. Okay.
All right. I got this big story, okay? But first, I want to get to this little article that was in the Cap Times supplement, if you caught that at the store where you can pick them up free. Mm-hmm. This was a quote from Robin Voss, our majority leader in the assembly. Okay. This is an incredible quote. And I just want you to think about this because, I mean, really, truly, in the same sentence, he manages to say something so ridiculous.
Well, it's
and contradictory.
What did he say?
Listen to this. This is a response that he had to a question. What did Ronald Reagan say? Trust but verify. Now, we're talking about the university getting this funding for the engineering department.
Okay.
He says, trust but verify. I gave them, the UW, till December. I think until the end of this year. To say, did they keep their deal that we already cut? See, now they're talking about the next biennium. Will they fund the next biennium if they kept their deal, which means, and this is Robin Voss speaking, which means reduction in DEI, improve conservative thought on campus, free speech, a hiring freeze, and all the things that we talked about. Now, I just want to point out that conservative thought on campus is not something you can import. It is not something you seek out. It is not something you bring in. We didn't never consider bringing in liberal thought. We never asked, well, let's bring in some liberal thinkers and put more of that on campus. They can't get... Robin Voss, you can't get away with talking about bringing in conservative thought into our university. Look, if it's there, it's there.
You can but it's not going to work.
But
you can bring in conservative speakers, but I can guarantee there's going to be a lot more people who are angry about those people being there than who are there to hear them speak.
You can't demand that you have a certain way of thinking, more of it, on campus. You know, it's either there or it isn't, right? And I've always said that if conservatives on campus feel like they can't speak up in a class, that's their damn problem, okay? get a backbone. Speak up.
Yeah.
What's
Free
wrong
speech.
With you? Yeah.
They can speak up.
I don't know. There's so many liberals out here. I'm afraid to say anything in class. Well, that's your problem. work your way through that, man. So anyway, I mean, he says improve conservative thought on campus, and then right after that says free speech.
Yeah.
What the hell? What is it, Robin? You see these little comments, and it's a reveal. It's a way to figure out that this guy doesn't have a real clue about what free speech is or what thought on campus is all about. It's there. It's what we encourage.
And right at the top of the list, he wants a reduction of DEI.
Right. Right. Again.
Oh, okay. What?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. We want to see less of that.
Yeah, we want the opposite of
what
that.
What the hell? Jeez. Doesn't make any sense at all. No sense at all.
So,
And I've got this rich guy. Okay, we're still in the holiday spirit here on the show, you can tell.
For sure.
And this is a millionaire friend, Dan Pena.
Is he a Scrooge guy?
He is. Oh, man, is he? He has this, he releases video. It's a Christmas message from MAGA, okay? You can't hate these people enough. I'm telling you, here's the million-dollar man, Dan Pena, bragging about his 300 gifts under his Christmas tree. Let's listen.
And all you poor f***ers out there, you know, and we're going to show, that's pan down. Move a little,
Oh, look
that's
at those gifts.
That's what Christmas is supposed to look like, you poor f***. And if it doesn't look like there's about 300 presents here, if it is, something ain't right, if your Christmas doesn't look like this.
Oh, yeah, wow, yeah, something's not right. Mine didn't look like that. I guess I have something wrong at my house.
Not a millionaire.
He must be on Santa's nice list if he got 300 presents. Wow.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
a lot.
Seriously, the dialogue beats out anything James Bond had to oppose in any of his movies, you know, the supervillains that he had to fight. The reality is Dan Pena is the billionaire friend of Trump's.
Oh.
Pena has helped thousands of entrepreneurs make trillions of dollars, but he also has an estimated net worth of only $500 million. So he's
the
billion-dollar man. He's the trillion-dollar man, but he's worth $500 million. The businessman is known as the trillion-dollar man, and he got his millionaire status as an oil investor in the 80s. Now, I did a little research on this because I wanted to know more about this jerk who told us we have to have gifts like he does. I looked him up, and I found that one of Dan Pena's trillion-dollar man seminars, he was speaking to the crowd, and he actually says this. This sounds like some villain, super villain out of an Austin Powers movie. So let's listen to this. It's cut 143.
I said when Trump ran the first time, before he got beat by Biden, I'm not going to argue whether he really got beaten or not. I don't want to give a shit. As far as I'm concerned, he lost the second election. I said we were going to witness the greatest transformation of wealth the planet has ever seen. I said it a million times would be a Trump exaggeration. But I certainly said it hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times.
Oh, you're so
good. But nobody listened. When I say nobody, that's not exactly true. A few hundred people listened. I have probably 50 people or 80 people that if I tell them to shit on their four-year-old's head, they'll shit on their four-year-old's head. I mean, they do exactly what I tell them to do.
What is wrong with this guy?
He's the trillion-dollar man. He's helped people make millions and millions of dollars. And this is what wealth is. This is the autocracy. These are the billionaires. This is what we're expecting to take over this country and run it like a sweet machine.
Boy, can't wait. Isn't that something? Buckle up.
Isn't that
what a weird, everybody's going to make a lot of money. What a weird thing to choose as your odd thing to say to people and have them listen to you.
Yes.
You could have said anything else weird that people would listen to you about anyway, but he chose that.
Yeah, that's sick.
That's in front of a crowd of people he's trying to, you know.
He's impressing them. Yeah.
Impressing them with that. Oh, boy.
A Trump buddy, huh?
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, speaking of the economy and what's to come here, the billionaires being in charge of everything, this is Liz Panicotti. She's from the Roosevelt Institute, and she serves up a little warning for each and every one of us. Okay. Let's listen to this.
Liz, you would, I think, even be more definitive. You think that some of these policies, in your view, while promising to deliver a great economic boom, will blow a hole in a strong but fragile economy. Is that your view?
I think that's right. I think we have like a stack of mismatched plates that are okay for now, and you are looking at dropping the entire stack of plates and shattering all over the floor.
Yep.
We're talking about, Trump has proposed $10 trillion in tax changes on the campaign trail between making the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act permanent and, you know, no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. I'm not sure we're taxing anything at this point based on what he's proposed. $10 trillion is not something you can recover from, both from a debt and deficit standpoint and from an inflationary perspective. That is, you know, three times what the Biden administration spent on the American Rescue Plan and the Inflation Reduction Act. That is, you know, four to five CARES Act programs in a non-crisis scenario. And I think the inflationary pressures, even if they're pro-growth, which I don't think they will be based on what's being proposed, I think we're looking at both the economic crisis and a huge hole in a strong but fragile economy.
Yeah, that's it. And I just want to mention here that the CARES Act, I mean, talk about the CARES Act. It permitted loans by the Treasury Department to businesses losing money during COVID, loans that were forgiven. And remember, Robin Voss had a $299,549 loan forgiven.
Really?
Liz warns that the next one could be four or five times the size of the CARES Act Biden passed out.
Gotta leave it there. Coming back with leftovers and tidbits.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress, where you can sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Find them on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online at verlo.com.
It's John and Gordy in the morning, and we want to say to Thomas out there, it is Dan Pena. Wanted to know who that was I was quoting earlier, and we played the
Trump buddy.
Odd cut of a billionaire to all of us.
Very strange.
His happy Christmas message to everyone.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we mentioned earlier in the show, Jimmy Carter passing away yesterday at the age of 100. This was him a few years back on David Letterman. Let's hear it.
In Springfield.
Oh, hang on.
Hang on.
Oh.
I found your dog's clip from earlier, and that was what was pulled up.
Oh, okay.
Here's Jimmy Carter.
Right. There we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 39th president of the United States of America, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy! President Carter, I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate you being here. It's very nice of you. Thank you.
Well, I just thank you for having me on your show, Regis.
And I think something that kind of got the attention of folks, former President Reagan allegedly received like $2 million to go speak in Japan. Is that all right for him to be taking a $2 million fee to go someplace and speak?
Well, you know, I'm not a judge. I hate to criticize another president, but if anybody knows of another opportunity for a $2 million fee, I'm...
When you were in office and, of course, traveling around, when you go to a foreign country, you're at the mercy of a translator. Do you travel with your own translator? Does the leaders of the other country provide you with one? How does that work?
the first time I made a foreign trip as president, it was to Poland. Mm-hmm. And then I went to other places. But when I got off a plane in Poland, I had an interpreter there. And I didn't write my speech out ahead of time. It was just a greeting. It was a very welcoming group, and mostly very heavily Catholic. And I got out and I told them that I understood that their heritage was one of commitment to and love of freedom. And the interpreter said that I knew about their commitment to free love. Well, it didn't go over well with the audience. And this is, you can look it up in the records, a true story. And all over the world, you know, I was accused of saying the Polish Catholic people were committed to free love.
Wow. Nice to have you here.
Jimmy Carter.
Very funny guy. Great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he was quite the president, really.
Yeah.
Only one termer, but yeah. You know, did a lot for human rights. And then after his presidency, my God. Just building all those houses for Habitat of Humanity.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There isn't a president that could ever do what Jimmy Carter did after he was president.
Yeah, started the Carter Center.
And
traveled all over the world, something like 150 countries.
Yeah.
And, you know, helping to support democracy and being a witness to democracy and
hammer
voting.
Hammer and nail, man. He was out there building homes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Gonna miss it.
Yeah. By the way, we want to send our well wishes out to Rocker. I understand he is a little bit under the weather.
A little health event. Yeah. But he's fine.
Hope he's doing okay.
He rocked a little too hard at his gig last Thursday.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Okay. Yep. Well, get well soon, Rocker. All right. Okay.
Hey, I just want to follow up on a thing about the engineering department at the UW.
Well, I think, Sam, did you take any engineering classes? Because you had an engineering problem over the weekend.
You just want to talk about this, don't you?
During our break.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because you've been working on this VW bug as long as we've known you.
That's right. So I had some time this past week.
I was home
and I was patching all of the rust holes in this car, this 50-plus-year-old car.
With Bondo, right?
Not with Bondo. Okay. No.
Something better than Bondo.
I have a welder and I can use it very poorly.
Okay.
So I was welding up a hole in the floor, and the weird thing about a Volkswagen, you got the battery under the back seat on the floor.
Yes.
Of course.
So I was welding right next to this battery, and I melted a hole in it.
Oh, no.
And I didn't notice until I looked in the car, and there was this puddle of liquid in the back seat, and I didn't know what had happened. I had battery acid all over my floor.
Now you need a new battery.
Yeah, I had to go and buy a new battery. But
Man.
It's
when are you
going to
get this thing done and drive it back
gonna
down
be
here?
I put one coat of paint on it right before I left yesterday. And this coming weekend, I'm going to go back, put another coat of paint on, put the engine in, and then the John and Gordy mobile will return.
Do you think you're in over your head on this thing? Just, you know, a little bit?
There is nothing that I can't do, John.
Now, what color is this going to be? I mean, are you painting the whole car? Or?
No, just the new bits of metal that I'm putting on.
Okay, I don't want you to paint the car. I mean, it's a wonderful multicolor.
Yeah, it's
extravaganza
orange,
the way
it's
it
green,
looks now.
It's green, it's red, it's black. There's so many different colors to it.
Yeah.
So much history in each color. Right.
Well, you brought it to the.
Well, it's been hit a few times.
A fender here.
I mean, it's really a cool. You brought it to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
I did,
Everybody wanted to take a ride in it.
Todd Michaels took a ride in it.
Yes.
And he loved it. I got to bring it back. He's got to ride in it again when we go back to the WBA.
Very cool. Yeah. Got to bring it everywhere.
See, I remember that they don't have the most comfortable seats in the world.
Well, not a luxury vehicle.
Well, no. I mean, just even a functional seat would help.
But when I had it in high school, like the first time I ever drove it to school, it was like right towards the end of high school, I rode in sitting on a milk crate because I didn't have the seats in it yet.
See? That's...
Wow. Okay.
That's probably more comfortable than the actual seats that came with the car.
I imagine. Yeah. All right. Well, keep us posted on that.
We have to know more.
Okay. Stephanie Miller is coming up next. What?
I'm giving you the time.
Okay. I thought you said something. Okay. We'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning.
We sure will.
All right. For our New Year's Eve broadcast. Have a great day.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
John and Gordy in the morning.
As we were saying.
John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.